But I'd like to share with you tonight from God's word is in reference to the Magi and his star. His star being the star that announced the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we get into it, though, I want to just clarify how important God's word is. That this Bible, I mean, I know it's a thing, and it's pages, and there's ink and print on here, but what is communicated in here are the words of life. It's God's word. The creator of the heavens and the earth made available his word. He spake. As holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit God. Okay? And the word of God got written. And so God encourages us to make sure we get it right, that we just don't guess and speculate. Because the scriptures have no private interpretation, of one's own interpretation. God meant what he says in his word, and he didn't want us to put any other words in it. And so we want to get it right. And 2 Timothy 2:15 should be an important verse for us. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourselves approved unto God. And this word study in the Greek is put forth a diligent effort. Put a diligent effort. Really put your heart and soul into it. And so we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, the word of truth. We got to rightly divide it, not wrongly divide it or guess or speculate about it, but work the word so that we get it right, that we get what God is communicating. And I think so many times people just kind of guess at it and go with it. But this is God's word. It's a big deal. And we need to have great awe and respect for the word of God. Okay? So, in Genesis 1:14, it talks about God's creation here. And in light of us talking about his star, we're going to be talking about the heavenly bodies, right? So in 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what? For signs. Signs. Signs tell you what's coming up or what's happening, what's going to be in the future maybe. But there's signs. And for seasons and for days and for years. So God designed the stars, the heavens, to communicate his word. In fact, that's how they learned the word in the very, very beginning, because they didn't have the written word till later on. And God would show Adam and others, you know, the word in the stars. And it's a fascinating study to see how that works. We're not going to do that tonight, but we're going to see the message of the coming Christ was communicated in the stars. Psalms 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Okay? So, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. That in the stars, God paints a picture of his glory. And his greatest glory is the coming Christ. And that's the great story in the stars, and that's written in the stars, is the coming Christ and his redemptive work and his subsequent glory in the future. What is God's most important work? Again, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the heavens talk about it. It illustrates it. And there's a promise in Genesis 3:15 that is of utmost importance, because the whole Bible hinges on this promise in 3:15 of Genesis. You know, Adam fell, Adam and Eve messed up. The serpent encouraged them and got them to go against the things of God. And so they lost the spirit. Adam lost that spirit. Eve lost the spirit. And what was God going to do? Well, his promise was, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So it talks about the seed of the woman. Does woman have seed? No. No. But we know that in the conception of Mary's womb, that God created that seed in her womb to bring the Christ child. And so this is what it's talking about. And the Satan's seed is the one that tries to destroy it, that fights against the coming Christ. He's the evil serpent, right? And it shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman, Christ, is going to bruise his head, meaning he's going to destroy the devil and his works at some point in the future. And thou shalt bruise his heel, meaning that Christ would suffer and be wounded. And obviously he died for the redemption of all mankind. But he got rose up, right? Mm-hmm. He was raised from the dead and is seated at the heavenlies, and he's coming back. He's coming back. So what about these magi's? We know that, let's go to Matthew, if you will. The magi's came, for the most part, we see in front of the churches now, and maybe in other people's yards, the little nativity scene, right? And who's there in the nativity scene?
The kings.
The three kings, the rappers, and the shepherds, and everybody and their mother. But were they really there with the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, chapter 2, Matthew 2, 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So here are these magi's, these kings from the east, are come to see this new king from Judea. And of course, verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. He didn't want any competition, right? In all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou least of the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. So he sends them to Bethlehem. And of course he says, let me know, you know, I want to worship him too. Of course Herod wanted to destroy him, right? Mm-hmm. We know that from the word here. And so they go to towards Bethlehem. They go in verse 8, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you find him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. So it's not talking about baby Jesus, it's talking about the young child. different Greek word here. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child, not the baby, the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So something in the heavens took place that brought these magi's from the east to find this king of the Jews. And what is that all about? And that's what we want to look at here briefly tonight. Now, verse 11, and when they were come into the what?
The house.
The house, they saw the young child, not the baby, the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. So when the kings arrived on the scene, they went to a house. Now, where was Jesus born? Was he born in a house? No, he was born in a stable, right? That's where he was born. He spent his first days in the stable there. But later on, as he grew as a young child, obviously they were in a house somewhere, and the kings came to him. And then they shared with him some great resources that came in handy when they needed to escape Herod's dictate to kill all the children from 2 years and under, right? Because he knew he had to figure this little child here, at least, you know, under 2 years of age, we're going to make sure we get everybody 2 years and under. But thankfully, God worked with Joseph. They had the resources of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to travel to Egypt, as it says in verse 14. And that's where they were until Herod died. But let's take a look here. And I want to use a resource and read from you out of a book, Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed, that handles, has some great information about what we're looking at tonight in light of the Magi and what his star was. So I'm going to read here. I quote here. The Greek word magoi is poorly translated by the words wise men. Magoi is a reference to a specific religious caste called Magi's or Magians that was prominent in the ancient Near East society, especially in Persia. Virtually nothing is popularly known about them today. Who were these people? Why were they knowledgeable of the birth of the Judean king? As far as we know, at the time of Christ's birth, no one in Israel was aware of their king's birth through observation of the stars. It was only the Magi of the East who came to know of this event by reading the astronomical message. Ancient records indicate that the earliest Magi lived in Media and Persia as a religious caste before the time of Zoroaster, the founder and prophet of the Zoroastrian religion. Prior to Zoroaster, the Magi religion is thought to have been a type of nature worship. So this was kind of where the Magi came from in the beginning, okay? It is therefore important to remember that the Magi of Matthew 2:1 are said to be from the east. They were men reputed for their knowledge of religion, astronomy, and spiritual significance of astronomical phenomena. How did these Magi happen to accurately understand much of the true meaning of the stars? The book of Daniel records that Judeans during the Babylonian captivity, 500 years before the birth of Christ, wielded great influence in the royal courts where Magi served. For example, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all held high offices in the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel was made the master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, according to Daniel 5:11 through 13. Judean teaching on the celestial message in the stars was attentively listened to in this Babylonian society, which set much importance on celestial motions. That this society excelled in astronomy and astrology can be seen in how the terms Babylonian or Chaldean have been long synonymous with diviners and observers of the stars. The truth concerning his star became accessible knowledge to the Magi when the Persians took over the Babylonian Empire, Daniel 5:31. As recorded in Daniel 6, at the time of the takeover, Daniel retained the high position he had held under Babylonian rule. He was preferred above the presidents and the 120 princesses because an excellent spirit was in him, Daniel 6:3. Daniel was again set over the Magi and therefore could fully instruct them in the accurate knowledge of biblical prophecy written in the stars. Okay, so the Magi showed up in Judea looking for this new king, that they saw his star. So what was his star? What was it that they saw that got them so excited about making the trip all the way over and to worship this new king, this young child in Judah? So let me read a little bit more here. Most people believe that the star seen by the Magi was exceptionally bright. However, God's word indicates that only the Magi took special note of it. Its brilliance is never mentioned, only its significance. Whatever the star was, it was important for its meaning, not its brightness. Another popular misconception is that after first seeing the star, the Magi immediately followed the star from their eastern homeland to Jerusalem. This is not so. Tradition depicts the Magi arriving in Bethlehem on the night of Christ's birth, finding the newborn Christ child in the manger while the shepherds stood by. Yet, God's word clearly demonstrates that the Magi arrived in Bethlehem over a year and 3 months after Jesus' birth. And we read Matthew 2:9 through 11. They found a young child. Padion is the Greek word. These words do not designate a newborn babe. According to Luke 2:16, the shepherds found a newly delivered babe, Brephos, in the Greek. The Magi found a child in a house, not a babe in a stable. No shepherds are mentioned as being present when the Magi were there. In researching to identify his star, we must do away with all our previous misconceptions and base this study on concrete information and evidence from the Bible, history, and astronomy, not on popular artwork, myths, or conjectures. Okay? So, what was seen in the heavenlies and I'm really make this short and concise, is they saw the movement of planets and the heavenly bodies. They saw the stars, and then they see these wandering stars, which we know as planets. And the action of these stars and the planets moving through them is what got them excited. Now, Jupiter is a king star, and they saw this star in the constellation of Leo. Now, what's Leo?
A lion.
The lion, right? The lion. That's the star picture of a lion. And Judah was representative by the lion, it says in the Old Testament. So that's how they felt, that here this Jupiter, and then there were other planets massing in Leo, where they saw the star Regulus, which is means king, in this grouping, Leo, and they had Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, happened to be right together. Now, when you look up in the skies, there might be Venus over here and Mars over here, but for them to all of a sudden be together in a conjunction, as they say in astronomy, is very rare. And this is what excited the Magi, is in the constellation Leo, which represented Judah, they saw these planets, the massing of the planets with Jupiter and Mars and Mercury. So let me read a little bit more from the book here that does a better job explaining. Watching Jupiter closely after its arising, coming up visibly from the east, the observant Magi began to realize the significance of what they were seeing. A king had been born, Jupiter-Regulus conjunction, a king that would come out of Judah, Leo. This was the long-promised king of the Judeans, the Messiah. He would be the bright and morning star, Venus. That was another planet that was massed together in Leo. I forgot to mention Venus, for whom mankind had waited for centuries. When this realization flowed together in their understanding, the Magi prepared to travel westward to Judea. Certainly the awesome massing of the planets in August 2 BC was a final motivation. It was Venus, Jupiter, Mercury, and Mars with Regulus, the key star in the constellation of Leo. Prompted by this overwhelming evidence, the Magi left their homeland and traveled to Jerusalem. There they received instruction from Herod to seek the child in Bethlehem, only 5 miles directly south. Okay? And so the Magi left Jerusalem and went and saw before them the same star Jupiter, which they had seen in the rising. As they traveled south, the star went before them. How could his star so clearly point out Bethlehem to the Magi? There's an astronomical explanation for such a seemingly phenomenal event. All the visible stars and planets appear to an observer on Earth to move westward during the course of a night, similar to the motion of the sun during the day. A star or planet will reach its highest point when it arrives on the meridian directly south of the observer in the northern hemisphere. This is similar to the sun when it reaches the highest point during the day that we call noon, when it's on the same meridian as the observer. From this point on, the sun begins to descend in the western half of the sky. As the Magi left Jerusalem, they saw Jupiter on its nightly course. Looking south, they saw it high in the sky, nearing its apex on the meridian of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. As learned astronomers, they knew that Jupiter would slowly progress to its meridian. Indeed, as they traveled, they could see Jupiter slowly moving in the direction of Bethlehem. As the Magi approached Bethlehem, Jupiter finally, quote, stood over where the child was, the area of Bethlehem. The time period in which the Magi traveled to Bethlehem could only have been between December 4th, 2 BC. And of course, Jesus was born September 3 BC. When Jupiter could be seen in this position over Bethlehem, and before January 9th, 1 BC, so it would be in between these two dates when the events surrounding the death of Herod began. The word stood over do not necessarily mean Jupiter stopped. They mean the star had reached its highest point or stood. In beholding his star as it stood over Bethlehem, the Magi were thrilled with unspeakable joy that they would soon find the one they had come searching for. The king of the Judeans, whose star they had seen in the rising. Yes, the promised seed. So, that's a little bit about his star and the Magi's and how that all came together. So I know I was very brief in this, and there's a lot more information on the subject, but I thought it would be of interest this time of year to get into it a little bit. And I think next week I'll share with you a little more about his date. When was Jesus really born? We know it wasn't December 25th for sure. And there's some great evidence in the scriptures to help us find what that date is. Okay? So, Father, thank you that we have your word and how you've made it available for us to know these great truths and to see how these events played out, and that there was a great recognition by some people of the coming Christ. And we're thankful, Father, that today people could know the true Christ, could really know who he is as their Lord and Savior, and can walk with him and have him abide within them, and that people can be born again of God's Spirit, your Spirit, Father. So thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his birth, and everything that followed afterwards that gave us life eternal. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.